Open your Bibles, please, in Luke chapter 10. If you have any questions about the work after church, we'll be glad to answer them. Luke chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 30 down through 37. I want to ask you to stand if you're able to. If you're not able to, that's fine. But to give the bench a break from your weight and get your blood stirred so you don't go to sleep. Amen. But thank you, Pastor, again for the invitation to be here today. And I hope that the church has supported us now for close to all of our ministry. We started in 77. They took us on 78. So that's been 48 years this church has been supporting our ministry. And we're hoping not disappointed. Amen. What you saw today, because God's a blessing. Souls are being saved, and not as many would like to see. My burden, the biggest burden we have right now, is more preachers. God give us 18 men. We've lost three, but we got 15. But I challenge every time I go down, where's the next group? Same thing here in America. We need preachers. We need pastors. We need missionaries. There's not a mission board in the United States of America that's not praying for laborers. You know, the only prayer request Jesus made is that pray to the Lord of harvest that has sent forth laborers into his harvest. That's what Jesus prayed. That's the only prayer request Jesus ever made. But it still stands today. Laborers for the harvest. But in Luke chapter 10 this morning, I want to try to give some encouragement. We'll be praying for the church. And you search for a new pastor. The Lord will help you with that. And I hope this will be a little bit of encouragement to you along the lines of what the Lord give us this morning. In Luke chapter 10 and verse number 30. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was in the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took of the 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And which now these thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Father, bless the reading of your word, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We know you as a church are going through looking for a pastor, and we know discouragement can come. But I'd like to preach with this thought this morning for the Lord to help us for a little while. And I forgot to ask what time I'm supposed to quit, but I'll get quick fast as I can. Amen. But I want to preach on this thought. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. I don't think there's one of us sitting here today that we don't need help. Some area of our life may be physical, may be spiritual, may be financial, and it'd be like some of us, probably all three. Amen? And we need help. And our help don't come from the things of this world, but it comes from God. But in our text today, we see the sinner's condition in this man that went down to Jericho. The Bible said he fell among thieves and they beat him and stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. We see the sinner's condition. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, the Bible said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. The Bible said to us here, "For all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." We will see three things here quickly, and we'll get right into the message. My message is short. I only got 7 points. Amen. But I won't preach. If you'll say amen, I preach faster.
Amen.
I'm like a beagle dog. If you holler at a beagle, he'll chase the rabbits faster. Amen. You're quiet. We may be here for supper. Amen. But we find here in chapter verse 31, religion could not help him. The Bible said a priest came down and passed by. And he passed by on the other side. And if you remember before you got saved, religion don't save you. I'm glad I'm a Baptist.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. I'm a Baptist from the longest hair on my head to the longest toenail on my toe. Amen. I'm a Baptist. But Baptists don't save you. Amen. Religion don't have any hope for us. And then in verse 32, a Levite passed by. Levites always represent the law. The law could not help him. And the law couldn't help us. The only thing the law does is condemn us. The law shows us where we are. It shows us our sin. It shows us what we could do. And we have the law right here in the Word of God. But the law cannot save you. But love reached out to him in verse 33. In the life of a good Samaritan that was passing by. And he came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. We'll give you just a few things real quickly this morning and we'll be done. Don't worry about it. It is 11:15. I'll keep you informed. You won't even have to keep a look at your watch. Amen. It'll help some of you. But in verse 33, first of all, he came to me. The Bible said the Samaritan came to where he was and helped him. I could not go to where he was, but he came to me. I needed help, and he came to me. I was stripped of my raiment, and I was wounded, and he came to help me. This man could not help himself. He fell among the thieves. I don't know if you've ever been robbed or not, but we have. We've had our home robbed. We've had our churches robbed. And we've been robbed, and you saw on the thing, and 99, we were kidnapped, and they took us out into the woods, and the time that happened, everybody went out into the woods, came out in body bags, but the Lord let us walk out.
Amen.
Woo! I like to have a shouting fit every time I see that, amen. That's the thing about what God did for us. We wasn't nobody, but he helped us. But I was wounded. But the Lord, he came to me. Here we see a certain man, which is a sinner. He fell among the thieves. Then we find the Samaritan. I believe the Samaritan represents Jesus. Jesus is still searching for people to help that wants help and needs help. He's always on time to do that. And then the Bible said not only he came to me, but in verse 33, he considered me. The psalmist said in Psalm 13:3, he considered me and he helped me. I want to tell you something. The night that Jesus spoke to me, I was lost and undone on my way to hell. I've got used to a bad habit in Brazil. We have hot and hotter. And I got used to in Brazil taking my coat off, and I can't hardly stand it in the States anymore. Amen. I do have to take them off. Hope I don't offend the pastor. Amen. But he helped me. In Hebrews 12:3, the Bible talks about we get help. He considered us. It's amazing to me that God loved me. It's amazing to me that God loved you. Amen. I wouldn't have that love. I've got one son, that's Jonathan. He was born in Brazil in 82. He's 43 years old. Next month he'll be 44. And I got four of the best grandkids in the world. Amen. But if it's he to die or you die, only thing I can say to you, bon voyage. Have a good trip. Because I don't have the love that God has. But God had love for us. He considered us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God considered us. He looked through beyond the time. He saw us, that we would need a Savior. And he gave when he, I believe when he made the earth and he hung the stars and he hung the moon and he hung the sun. I believe he already looked to Calvary. I believe he already knew he'd go out to send his son. That shows how much love God has for us. He had considered us. Not only that, the Bible says in verse 33, he had compassion on me. The Bible said the priest passed by, he saw him. He probably was a bloody mess. The Bible said they wounded him. So he probably had wounds, he had blood. And the priest saw him bleeding. But the Bible said he just looked on him, passed him by. And then the law came by. And the same thing, he looked on him. But he passed him by. The law didn't want to get dirty either. Hello? Religion doesn't want to get dirty. The law didn't want to get dirty. But the good Samaritan came by. He had compassion upon him. And the Bible said he took time to help him. And Matthew, Jesus said, and when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion upon them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as a sheep having no shepherd. And friend, when he saw us, he had compassion upon us, had compassion upon me. He had compassion upon you. Amen? Don't say amen. I preach faster. Amen. Evidently, you're not used to that, but I'll get used to it by the end of the message. Amen. I preached in a church in Brazil. They had a choir on this side of the church, and the choir stayed up while I preached. Well, I nominated them my amen corner. And we practiced a few times. It took a while to get a good amen out of them. But if it didn't say amen, I'd stop and do this. And they'd say, amen. I preached Sunday morning, Sunday night. Never did get invited back. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Jesus had compassion upon us. And let me say that his compassion hadn't died. But I'm afraid compassion died in our churches. Woo! Huh? I'm afraid we as Baptists, our compassion for the lost has diminished. We don't have a burden we used to have for lost souls. And that's what grows the church. Amen. Amen. To have compassion. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you give a gospel tract? When's the last time you told somebody personally about Jesus? When's the last time you give somebody else your testimony? So, preacher, I don't know a lot of verses. You don't have to know a lot of verses. Tell them what God done for you the day that you met Jesus face to face. Amen. We had a man in our church in Brazil. He got saved. He's already an older man when he got saved. He couldn't talk good. He had chagas, which is a very bad disease. Don't have time to get into that, from a bug bite down there. But anyway, he talked a little bit like that. But I'll tell you what he did. He couldn't read. He couldn't write. But I'll tell you, during the week, he'd get a Bible, put it up under his arm, and he'd hit the street. And he started telling people about Jesus. If he met a boy or a girl or a woman or a priest or a cop or whatever, military, didn't make no difference. He told them about Jesus. And now a lot of people make professions. There's no doubt in my mind, preacher, a lot of people prayed a prayer just to get rid of him. I'm sure of that. But can you imagine if one got saved? Amen. Bible said salvation of one soul is worth the world. Our business is not to save folk, but our business is to tell folk about Jesus Christ. I fail in that. One fellow said, a shirt without a pocket is a sin. Somebody said, well, preacher, what do you mean a shirt without a pocket is a sin? He said, you don't have nothing to put a track in. Hello? And he may be right, amen. But I failed. I failed a lot of time. I had to have tracts in my pocket. I failed sometimes to give the word of God to somebody. But we should have compassion upon the law. If we went into the Lord, for the Lord, and tell people about Jesus, we can fill up the empty pews. There are thousands of people lost in Hendersonville. There are thousands of people lost within the few miles of this church. How you know? Passed a bunch of them this morning. Hello? Cutting their grass, washing their car. doing nothing. I guarantee if you stop, they're a member of some Baptist church, might be a member of Calvary. Hello? But they don't know Jesus. How you know? They're not in church. Preach, preacher. Amen. I charge more for half amen myself. Amen. I want to tell you something. We need to have compassion for the lost. Going to the mission field don't make you a missionary. Our mission always preaches and teaches during our candidate school. We'll have that a little bit later on this month. They call it Refresh Week now. We called it Candidate School when I was in it. We had 2 weeks of daily classes. Now they've cut it down to 4 days, amen, to do a little bit different operating in the office. But they emphasize this part of telling others about Jesus Christ and having compassion. Telling others about Jesus. And that's what we're up to. And one of the things that they emphasize is that if you don't witness here, you won't witness there. Right. Wherever that there is. Amen. It'll be anywhere in the world. Amen. Verse 34. Let me move on. It's 11:24. Anybody passes out, we'll find you a chicken leg. Verse 34, he cleansed me. The Bible said the Samaritan bound up his wounds. I'll tell you something. Samaritan wasn't planning on helping a bloody man when he left the house. But he came upon this man. My boy was an EMT for a while, or a first responder, I guess the way it is, for a while. And if he comes upon a wreck, he has to stop. By law, he had to stop. He was in Georgia at the time. And he'd go to jail if he didn't stop. And he had to stop and help a lot of accidents, and some bad, some not as bad. But the Samaritan that day, when he come by, he could have done like the priest. He could have done about the Levite. There wasn't nobody call his name. He wasn't been on the Asheville News. He wasn't been on the in the newspaper of not doing what he's supposed to do. But he saw the man that he was needed. And the Bible said he cleansed his wounds. I don't know everything that he had. But he had some things to help him with. We ought to have help for people. We ought to hide the word of God in our heart so that we can tell people that Jesus loves them. Amen. You know, people know if we love them. They do. Sometimes we as preachers, we preach a little bit mad sometimes, I guess. Sometimes I have offended people. But I try to preach with love. Amen. You preach what we call mean preaching, straight preaching, Bible preaching, but you can help people if you got love in your heart. I believe in doing right, living right, and spitting white. Amen. I believe that's Bible preaching. I believe we ought to live right. But you got to have love in your heart. And one of the greatest things said about our first church when we first started it in Brazil, they called us a church of love. Amen. Church of love. But we had sinners getting born again. Amen. People getting washed in the blood of Jesus. Not because of me, but because of him. Amen. But he cleansed him. The Bible said here. Let me get back my notes so I can get done quick. Amen. But he cleansed me. The Bible said here that he poured in the oil. Oil in the Bible is the type of the Holy Spirit. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, I want to tell you something. When we get the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, we should have a desire to help somebody. Amen. Got one weak amen back there. Thank you, brother. Amen. We should get the Holy Spirit, should work on us, that we want to help people. And the Bible said here he poured in the oil. And that is a type of the Holy Spirit. And we can't put the Holy Spirit in people. But we can tell them about Jesus. And if they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Bible says they're baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And they're born again at that time. Don't take 3 workings of grace. Amen. The moment you get saved, the Holy Ghost takes abode in your life. I'm going to share a quick testimony with one of our men in our church. He's a pastor of the first church now. I've been there 31 years, pastor in that church. We was down there last year. I preached the 40th anniversary of the church. But Pastor Paul worked in the shoe factory. And right in front of him was a young man He was a member of the Communist Party in Brazil. They called him the instigator of fights. He would go into the firms and instigate fights with the factory owners, get higher wages or whatever they were wanting. And Paul began to tell him about Jesus, talk to him. I mean, he was face to face with him. He was on this side. Paul was on this side. And the man went to the boss and said, I want you to move me. I don't want to be in front of Paul. He said, no, you got to stay right there where you at. And old Paul just kept preaching to him. He said, well, I'm not coming to your church, but I want a Bible. So we sent him a Bible, then charged him a dime, sent him a Bible. And he began to read the Bible. One Sunday morning, I was there, and Paul told me, he said, Lil Nilsson's here. That's the name of the guy. And I said, great. And I was preaching out of 2 Kings on digging ditches for Jesus, where God told him to make the valley full of ditches. And Paul was sitting right over here, brother, and he was saying, Lord of mercy, Bill lives here, and the preacher's preaching on digging ditches. He should be preaching a salvation message. But I was preaching, that's what God told me to preach, and I preached. And God dug a ditch from right here all the way to the last pew where our dear brother was sitting right there. He was sitting right there at the end of the pew. And man, when I started to give invitation, I mean, the piano never hit the first note. Nobody got the first word out. Old Lil Nilsson stepped out from back there. He came to the front, and he got born again. Amen. That night, he brought his wife back. They were in the court to divorce. They'd already seen the lawyer. They'd done drawn up the papers. All the night was going back by there and signing the papers, and they would have been officially divorced. She said, I can't handle you no more. He was drinking. He was smoking. He was gambling. She said, I can't take it no more. She's going to divorce him. That Sunday night, he brought her back to church. She got saved. Amen. They went by the next week, tore up the divorce papers.
Amen.
Hello? Then God called him to preach. 2 months, I think, after he got saved, he started in our Bible Institute. He's the one you saw up there. He started 3 churches up to now. Hello? So what do you do? Somebody had compassion. Somebody told him about Jesus. And he got born again. But what was so funny, the next Sunday, we had a sweet service. I mean, God just moved in that Sunday morning. I mean, the power of God showed up. And people started testifying all over the church. Like a gold Baptist church, it should be. Woo! God bless you, brother. Huh? Like popcorn testimony. Ain't that, now anybody else got a word? Anybody else got a word? Can somebody say something? No, it's like popcorn. One sat down, 2 others stand up. I mean, people just testifying and praising God. And all at once, Lil Nilsson already requested prayer for his mother, pastor. Said, pray for my mother. She needs to get saved. Well, everybody testified all at once. She stands up in the back. I'm about to scratch my head. Lil Nilsson said she wasn't saved. But she didn't ever say a thing about herself. She said, I want to thank God that he saved my son, Lil Nilsson. She's a bawling like a baby. Thank God she saved my daughter-in-law and put their home back together. And she testified for me and sat down. I'm thinking, well, that's a different testimony I've ever heard. But we had several times, and I went on and preached that morning. Give the invitation. Who was the first one to step out? Was Lil Nilsson's mother. Come down and got saved. Then his brother got saved. He was up there in the picture too. He's pastoring the church that Lil Nilsson started. I want to tell you something. Then his wife's sister got saved. I want to tell you something. When God starts working, he can do the job. I can't get it done, but he can. And there's hundreds of people right around Calvary Baptist Church that need Jesus. On your job, in the school, and anywhere you go to the supermarket, there's people that need Jesus. But we've got to have compassion for him. He poured the oil in. Then let me give you the last thing here, and I got to move on and quit. The Bible said he poured the oil, but then he poured in the wine. Wine in the Bible is a symbol of joy. The way some of you are looking. Huh? Most Baptists are sad. Amen. Look, like I've been sucking on a persimmon that's green. Hello? But the Bible said he poured in joy. He poured in the wine. That's joy. Weeping may endure for a night. But joy. Woo! Joy coming in the morning. That's Psalms 30 and verse 5. I want to tell you something. God wants us to have joy. Uh-oh. It's what I do in Brazil. God wants us to have joy.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, God wants us to be happy. I don't blame sinners. I wouldn't want what some Baptists have got. I don't know if you knew Billy Kelly, but Billy Kelly down our way, he preached one time and he said, if I had what some Baptists had, I'd trade it for a mule and shoot the mule. Amen. I mean, some people are just a disaster to meet them. I don't even like to talk to some people. All they are is discouragement, discouragement, and discouragement. I want to tell you something. We as Christians, we should be the happiest people in the world. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're heading to heaven. I've got a mansion paid for.
Amen.
Hello? That ain't exciting y'all none. Hallelujah. But when he poured in the wine, he gave joy. Now, I can give you a bunch of verses, but I ain't going to do that tonight. Or this morning. Verse 34, the Bible said he carried me. The Bible said he set him on his own beast. Jesus put me in himself. Colossians 1:14 said we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I want to tell you something. He carried me. And then let me give you. I got two more points real quick. It's 11:34. We're in overtime. Verse 34-35. You watch a football game, you like overtime. Well, I'm giving you some overtime. Verse 34, 35, the Bible said he cared for me. He said he put me in the inn. I think the inn represents the church. I think every born again believer should be a member of a fundamental Bible believing independent Baptist church.
Amen.
Amen, preacher. God bless you. Huh? I believe everybody gets saved ought to be a member of a good church. And then the Bible said he placed me in the watch care of the innkeeper. And I believe the innkeeper is a pastor. I thank God for my pastor. I grew up with my dad being my pastor. And then I've had some other pastors. But Larry Raines was my pastor for 35 years. And I've been in Brooklyn now for about 5 years helping them with their mission program. And I want to tell you something. He's still my pastor. He grew up in the church. He said he was there 9 months checking it out before he was born. See if he wanted to stay there. Amen. His mother was a pianist of the church. But I want to tell you something. He's 33 years old, but he's preaching like a wild man. A man of God and great pastor. And I thank God for our pastor. But he put me under his watch care. And then the Bible said he left 2 pence. A lot of people got different ideas, but I believe that's the Old Testament and the New Testament. He left the preacher the Bible to take care of us. Amen. That's what preaching does. It helps us. It's like going to the doctor. You ever went to the doctor and got bad news? Hey, do you get mad at the doctor? How many of you ever got a bill in the mail? How many of you ever went out and smacked the postman? But you know, Baptists get mad at the preacher when he gives them the mail. Who do he think he is? The priest to me and tell me what's wrong in my life. That's what you went to the doctor for, wasn't it? I detest to go to the doctor and sit down. The doctor looked at you, what's wrong with you? My thought is, that's what I come to you for. That's what I'm supposed to be paying you for. Tell me what's wrong with me. If I know what's wrong with me, I wouldn't have to come see you. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I don't have to go tell him nothing. He already knows everything that's wrong with me. Amen. But the Word of God, it takes it right here, the Word of God. And the pastor preaches the Word of God. And I believe he's using the Old Testament, New Testament. He straightens me out. I want to tell you something. You can call my pastor and ask him. Generally, every service, I'm right here. This is my side of the table right here. I'm getting so old now, I can't get up. So I like to get next to the communion table. That way I got something. Now I still got, generally got a man on this side. He'll grab his arm and help pull me up. Amen. But I'm generally right here. Why? Because generally the pastor opens up some wounds and pours in some oil. And I have to go confess some sins. I like to get cleaned up. How many take a bath every week? I don't know how this come up. I was reading some articles the other day. I got amazed that some actors, they take one bath a week. I don't want to be there. I don't care who they are, how much money they make. They take one bath a week, I want to be a long way from them. Amen? Good, take a bath. Anyway, I don't know how they got in there, but that's free of charge. He cared for me. And then the last thing in verse 35, the Bible said, here in verse 35, he said, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Acts 1:11, the two angels said, why do you men of Galilee stand looking up? This same Jesus you seen go away will come again. John 14, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I want to tell you something. I believe we're living right on the verge of the coming of the Lord. I think about it when the brother was blowing that trombone, right? Blowing the trombone over here. I was just thinking, man, just what about if a trumpet signed in with him while he's singing and while he's playing over here and the trumpet sound, doo, 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 and the voice of the archangel says, come on up. We'd take out of here. You know, I can go to heaven from North Carolina. I don't have to go home. Amen. I ain't even leaving for dinner. Are we heading to the marriage supper? Did you know at the marriage supper, the lamb pastor, they're going to have banana pudding? You know that? Book of Revelation, the tree of life, got 12 banners of fruit, and the Holy Ghost done told me one of those are banana. And if they don't have a banana pudding there, I'm going to ask Jesus to let my wife make one. Amen. I want to tell you something. We are heading out of here, and we're going home. I don't know about you, but I'm about tired of this old world. I'm tired of fighting the flesh. I'm tired of the battles of every day. But I want to tell you something. One day, we're going to be at home with Jesus. We're going to be with him forever and ever and ever and ever. I don't know what some Baptists are going to do. They won't be dismissed. There'll be no end to service. Oh, Lord. Some Baptists done check out. Amen.
They won't even get there.
They might not even make it. You're probably right. Amen. But I want to tell you something. I'm looking forward to this shouting. One fellow said even when he gets to heaven, after he kissed the feet of Jesus, thanking for saving him, said that 1,500 square miles in New Jerusalem, said he's going to run around just saying, hallelujah, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Amen. I want to tell you something. That day's coming. I've heard that all my life. I know. I've heard ever since I've been in church. I'll be 74 to 23rd of this month. Don't forget that. At 23rd of this month will be my birthday. I'm going to tell you something. I've heard it all my life, but I believe we're so close. I believe Jesus is getting anxious. Amen? The marriage bride. We are the bride of Christ. And we're fixing to go get married. Amen? I don't understand it all. But I tell you one thing, I believe Jesus is coming soon. And if that scares you, get it settled. Because I believe it's just around the corner. Jesus is going to come and take us home to be with him. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of house payments. I got no car payment out there. I got a 2008 Chevrolet truck, 206,000 miles on it. Gets 15 miles a gallon downhill. Amen. But this time we're going to a place, we're going to live with a mansion, furnished, and we won't even have to have a vehicle. Just think about where you want to be and you're there. That'd be good. That beats Elon Musk. Hello? I'm going to tell you something. We're heading to a beautiful place. Tree to go, mansions, but most of all, Jesus. Those things mean a lot to us right now. Tree of gold, gate of pearl. One fellow said he didn't care nothing about seeing the gate. He wanted to see the animal to give the pearl. Amen. Because a gate made of one pearl, that's pretty big. That's pretty good animal. Amen. Foundation, precious stones. All those things seem important to us because we're in our carnal flesh. But when we get to heaven, I don't believe that's going to mean a drop in a bucket. The most precious thing that's there is Jesus. And seeing him face to face. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. It is exactly 17 minutes to 12. I did not ask when I was supposed to quit, and I apologize. But tonight, or this morning, the Bible says there's help is on the way. I don't know your need today. I don't know you, everyone here, but he does. If you need Jesus, if you need to be saved, he'll save you today. And if you're a Christian, you need help, encouragement. Maybe you need confessed sin. I don't know what your need may be. But he has the help you need if you'll come to him. Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us this morning in invitation time. Father, we'd mind you. Father, we'd bring honor to your word. Father, thank you for helping us to preach. Thank you for this dear pastor opening up the pulpit to us and the time we shared this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our heart that Jesus Christ will be real in our souls. And Father, help us. If there's somebody lost, you'd save them. Encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. As they're playing the piano, heads bowed and eyes closed. Pastor, I'll turn the invitation over to you.